I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Oh, testimony time. I said testimony time. Amen. Shall we welcome our sister Lade to come and give us a powerful testimony? Oh, come on, clap for her. Encourage her. It's a long way up here. Encourage her. Encourage her. Wow.
Praise the Lord. My name is Lade, and I want to thank God for a safe delivery. I have a friend that came all the way from Nigeria to stay here to have a baby. She had a baby on Thursday, and I just want to thank God that everything went on fine. There were no complications, and the baby's alive, fine, and the mother is fine too.
Amen. Oh, it's a powerful testimony. Amen. Clap unto the Lord. Amen. It's a very, very powerful testimony. Okay, so I had a testimony. Amen. You know, if you've been in the weekday service, Apostle has been teaching us about being a can-do person. You know, being someone who, you know, is not afraid of challenges. You know, recently I went for an interview, right? And when I went to the interview, originally I had applied for an entry-level position, you know, just to get a job, right? But when I went there, I kind of thought about it, I was like, you know what? I want to be a manager in this place. That's really what's in my heart. That's what I want to do. So when I went for my interview, and I sat down and I started talking to the lady, one thing led to another, and, you know, I asked her, you know, I mean, do you have any positions open for managers, you know, which was a bit awkward, right, because, like, I mean, why are you applying for this position, but then you're asking for something else? So she was a bit startled by it, and I was like, yeah, I mean, that's really what I want to do, and that's what I mean, do you have anything open like that? She's like, oh, didn't the other two ladies who were working in the HR at that time, she's like, oh, didn't they tell you? Did they tell you something? I was like, oh, no, nobody told me. I just have an interest. And she's like, oh, okay, no problem. So as we were talking, one of the managers walked by, and he overheard our conversation and overheard me asking. You know, and he came inside, and he asked the lady, okay, why don't we set him up for an assessment and see? You know, so they ended up setting me up for an assessment. It took about an hour of a whole bunch of mathematical equations and different things. And by the grace of God, I passed. You know, and I got the job as a supervisor. So, you know, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Amen. You never know until you ask. Amen. So I just want to give this testimony to the glory of God. Amen.
Everyone goes through trying. But joy comes in the morning, and even when it seems hard to find, He gives us peace for you and me. Be thankful for everything, and in everything, count it all joy. said once I cried these tears, it's gonna be over. I'm looking forward, not over my shoulder. Oh, hard time soon will pass, it's gonna be over. I'm looking forward, every day I'm holding on. You've got to count it all joy, even when it seems so hard to just know he'll never give you more than you can have. So you've got to count, count with me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, when it seems so hard to just know he'll never give you more than you can have. So for the last time, count it all joy, even when it seems so hard to just know he'll never give you more than you can handle.
Oh, amen. The Bible says in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy. Amen. It is time for my favorite part of the service. Amen. Shall we rise to our feet as we welcome the most anointed pastor, amen, in Los Angeles, Apostle Joel. Oh, come on, you can do it.
Do you really believe what you're singing? How many agree with me that sometimes it's hard to count it all joy? How many sometimes find it hard to smile? Yeah. Even when something is funny. Because what is going on inside doesn't seem to permit you to express a smile on your face. Hallelujah. But the Bible says we must count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, different tests, and different difficult circumstances. And it says, you should know, I want the verse. I want not the song, the verse. James chapter, James chapter 1 and verse 2, right? James chapter 1. My brethren, it says, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, right? Verse 3. Okay, knowing this, right? It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it develops character.
That's right.
Do you understand? Yeah, testings and trials somehow help you become a person of substance.
Right.
Amen. And you need to be a person of substance.
Right.
You need to develop some substance, some stamina in life. Amen. Then it says, but let patience, verse 4, it says, let patience have her perfect work. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That means allow the test to continue. Amen. So that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Hallelujah.
So the Bible says, you know, count it all joy, included.
Yeah.
It may not be joyful. That is why it requires you to count it. You must include it intentionally. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you're not likely to naturally include it. Hallelujah. Nobody includes tears in their joys. The days of sorrow are often not included in your joys. Amen. But God is speaking to us this morning. Amen. Even before the word of God comes, you should learn to expect his voice in a song, in praise and worship, in the memory verse, in an exhortation. Expect to hear his voice. Amen. So I think this is a prophecy for someone. Count it all joy. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances are, instead of moaning and complaining and crying, count it all joy. Hallelujah. And tell yourself, it is well with me. It is well with me. Amen. Why don't we say a word of prayer before you sit down? Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your presence and to be in your house. We pray, Lord, that you bless our time together in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Wow. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, today is a short one. Amen.
Amen.
And, yeah. Right? Okay. So, I just want to share with you today about tithing. Yeah. Okay. Maybe what I should be saying is that I want to share with you about blessing, about being blessed. Then I tell you that one of the keys to being blessed is tithing, isn't it? And then I say, so I'm going to share with you about tithing. Amen. But I want to share with you from this fantastic book. The title of the book, it says, Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor. And how tithing Christians can become rich.
Amen.
Amen. Now, some people, I mean, sometimes religious people don't like the word rich. They like what it means. They like what it allows people to do. They just don't like to hear the word in church. Do you see? Ask your neighbor, are you one of those people? Okay. What did they say? Ask. Ask them, would you like God to bless you with some riches? Ask your neighbor, could you use some riches? would it help a little bit? What did they say? It could help a little bit. A lot of bits. Wow. Amen. Well, riches come from God.
Amen.
Amen. And that is why we need to pay careful attention to what God has to say about how to become rich. Amen. Now, according to the Bible, well, let me just share with you. I want to share with you from chapter 1. Let me share with you from chapter 1. Amen. Six reasons why non-tithers become poor. Amen. The reasons why people who do not pay a tithe. You know, tithe is, like the word suggests, a tithe is a tenth. Okay? Now, God has ordained that for everything that He gives us, one tenth of it belongs back to Him. Do you see? I think it's not so hard to understand. All people who have jobs understand how Uncle Sam gives money to you, and yet a certain part of it actually belongs to him. Are you getting it? Yeah. Uncle Sam is not the usher at the back. He's waving. Hallelujah. Right? So we all know how, you know. Now, Deuteronomy chapter, or maybe let's do Leviticus rather. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. It says, and all the tithe of the land. Okay. That's like saying a tenth part of everything on the land. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Amen. So God has designated a part of everything that comes to you as a person as belonging to Him. He calls it holy. It's for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, when we set aside what belongs to the Lord, then God is expecting us to bring it to His house. Amen. Amen. Now, when you bring it, and the Bible says He's going to pour out blessing upon you. Hallelujah. Now, in this message, I'm trying to show you how people who do not do that, ultimately become poor. Amen. Amen. How non-tithing leads to poverty, wow. Right? And number one reason that becomes the case is because non-tithers become poor because they have nothing to harvest. You get it? They have nothing to harvest because life basically has to do with sowing and reaping. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You sow a seed and then you reap a harvest. And the harvest is always bigger than the seed. Amen. So when people don't sow anything, there is no harvest for them, isn't it? Hosea chapter 8 and verse 6. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 6. The Bible says, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. Can you see that? They have sown what? That's another way of saying you sow nothing. Do you understand? So if you reap a whirlwind of nothing, then that's quite a lot of nothing coming your way. Are you understanding it? Yeah? So that is the first simple reason why non-tithers can become poor, which is that when you do not tithe, you don't sow anything. Amen. And to tithe is to take a part of everything that God gives to you and say, this is what I bring back to you. Hallelujah. In acknowledgement of your goodness to me, in acknowledgement of your blessings upon my life, I recognize that you have a hand in this. And I bring this holy part to you just to honor you and to say thank you. Wow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And when you do that, you have sown. Amen. You have sown. And what you have sown goes a long way to create your next harvest. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right? So instead of hurting your finances, you actually help your finances. Isn't it? Yes. Every kind of sowing has to do with parting with something. It often has to do with postponing current consumption. Do you understand? Everything people sow, they could have eaten it. You could have eaten it, but choose to postpone eating, forgo eating, to sacrifice eating it, and you put it in the ground. Then that act creates and schedules long seasons of eating for you because of that sacrifice you made. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So everybody must learn how to tithe. Everybody must learn the habit of tithing. That whatever God gives to you, learn to bless him with a tenth of it. Amen.
Amen.
Learn to bring it back to the Lord and say, Lord, this is for you. And this is a blessing for you. Amen. Now, the second reason, which is what excites me this morning, is how that non-tithers become poor because they do not attract certain blessings upon their lives. They do not attract certain blessings upon their lives. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 is the most popular verse for this. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Hallelujah. It says, bring ye all the tithe into mine, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So it's the storehouse is in his house, isn't it? He said, if you bring the tithe into the storehouse, the effect will be that there will be meat in his house. Hallelujah. My house means God's house. God's house, where is God's house? The church is God's house. Hallelujah. Yeah. And prove me now, he said, and prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. So God is throwing a challenge. And God says, I can bless you to the point where there will not be room in your life to receive it. God's intention is to take you to a place in blessing where you will have things you don't need. You will have things you don't even have space for. You don't even have the space for the stuff. You don't even know where to put it. You have to give them away because it's too much and too many. That is his plan. That's God's plan. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to look carefully at it because in life, what you need is a blessing. Do you understand? What you need is a blessing. What we must work hard for is to be blessed, to enter a state of being blessed. Hallelujah. When you go through life with a blessing, life is really tough. Hallelujah. Going through life without a blessing is like taking out a screw without any lubrication. Have you ever tried to take out a really tight screw? You get it. And you try to take out the screw and there is no lubrication. Do you see? And so everything is so manual. You see? And you need to apply a lot of effort and a lot of hard, strenuous work just to turn it a little. Hallelujah. Yeah. Just look sometimes at your life and you can see that with all the effort and all the hard earning, it seems to turn or change things just a little bit.
Wow.
Are you getting it? All our hard work, all our running around, waking up early, sleeping late, driving long distances, working 2-3 jobs, swinging from one job on one side of town to get to the other one before you are fired, you know, and going up and down and up and down, you know, sometimes the frustration rather has the opposite effect on people. The frustration rather makes people mean and stingy. Because then people feel that, you know, I'm working really hard. So even to give something to someone is a problem. Because they feel, you know, I really sweated to get this. Do you see? And so it makes people tight-fisted. And that the tight-fistedness actually perpetuates and recreates more difficulty and more tightness. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because you don't do the things you need to do to generate a blessing upon your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I see a blessing coming upon your life. That is why I'm preaching this message to you today. If you can receive it, you will begin to see God's hand in your life in a special way. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you?
Oh, yes.
So we need a blessing. Let me show you this verse. Look at this verse in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 4. The Bible says, labor not to be rich. Can you see? Labor not to be rich. Then it says, cease from thy own wisdom. You see that? Labor not to be rich, then there's a colon, which means that is to say, back off from your own wisdom.
Wow.
Hallelujah. He said, back off from your own ideas. Back off from your own. I mean, we either believe the Bible or we don't. It's labor not. Am I okay? It says, labor not to be rich. Then it says in the next verse, verse 5, will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and they fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Yeah. He says riches are unreliable. Do you see? So labor not to be rich. He says, don't fight to be rich. If you are not going to fight to be rich, then what must you fight for? Because you're going to fight anyway. So then what should you be fighting for? Hallelujah. Then right there in the scriptures, the Bible shows you a better way to go out being rich. Amen. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Can you see that? It maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So right there, you can see that God is not against you being rich. But God is showing you a better way to approach riches. Amen. He said, don't labor, don't fight, don't labor, don't struggle to be rich. Sometimes the quest to be rich, the Bible says those who will be rich often pierce themselves with so much sorrow. You know, let me verse. Hallelujah. He says those that will be rich, you know, often pierce themselves with many sorrows. Have you seen that verse before? I think it's in 1 Timothy, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, where is it? Verse 10. Thou, man of God, can you see that? Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. This is Timothy I'm reading. Chapter 6. Sorry, I'm reading verse. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. Okay, there it is. For the love of money, maybe let's read from 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
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 For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain to carry nothing out. Amen. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare. Snare means trap, isn't it? Then it says, to many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So the quest to be rich, do you see, actually causes or is the cause of many sorrows for people. It is the cause of many tears. So much pain in life comes from people trying to be rich. Hallelujah. It comes from people struggling to be rich. Verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That means every evil thing can ultimately be traced to the love of money. Any bad thing you see, any evil thing you see, can be traced back to the love of money in someone. So he says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You see, they have backslidden, they have gone off the faith. Isn't it? Yes. And have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Amen. So the pursuit of riches has a way of leading people into many sorrows, many painful experiences. A lot of sorrow comes from the pursuit of riches. Amen. A lot of divorce comes from the pursuit of riches. You know, people who sell drugs, people who do all kinds of things that bring pain to people, often are driven by the love of money, which leads to sorrow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So then, how can you have riches without sorrow? That is what the other verse is saying. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. That means it has the same effect, isn't it? But he added no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Can you understand what I'm sharing with you? Right? So there's riches that comes from your own effort, from your own pursuit, from your own struggles. Do you understand? That actually comes to you, but then the Bible says it comes with piercings, isn't it? It comes with piercings. It says they pierce themselves through. They are trying to be rich, and they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Many people become sick just from trying to be rich. Yeah. Don't get enough sleep. I met somebody who told me the other day, he said that for the past, certain number of years, he had slept like 3 to 4 hours a day. And I was asking him, what are you doing the rest of the time? Do you understand? But that is how it has to be for some people. Are you getting it? Some people are forced by their circumstances to have to live like that. It's not like they want to, but they are forced by the circumstances because they are living a life without a blessing. So anything they must have or can have has to be by their own effort. I mean, if they don't sweat it out, they can't have it. Are you getting it? Yeah. If they can't sweat it out, then they can't have it. But I tell you that God wants you to have some things you didn't sweat for. Yeah. How many have received something you didn't sweat for before? Something nice that you didn't really sweat for. That's why we all like gifts. If you want someone to smile, wrap something and approach them. Doesn't matter what you wrap. Maybe it can even be the microphone. Wrap it. And especially if there's a ribbon on it, it takes it to another level. And you start to approach the person, you know, and watch how their eyes actually transfer from looking at you to looking at what is in your hand. And you see how a smile breaks forth on their face. And they're so happy, even before they know what is in it. It's just a microphone. But we all like to receive gifts because you're about to receive something you didn't sweat to get, no matter what it is. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God wants you to have blessings. Amen. But you can see that there are two ways of receiving blessing. In one case, the person receives riches but has to pay the price of sorrows. By the time they work so hard to be able to afford anything, they are too sick to use the thing. Yeah? It's like the toll on you is so much, you cannot even eat the things you can afford. Yeah. You can't eat them. You go to the doctor will tell you, you can't drink this, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat that. All the things your tongue is sensitive to have been crossed out. No salt, no sugar. No meat, no butter. Yeah. No carbs, no protein. Carbs are making you sick. Protein is making you sick. You are left with vitamin C. Vitamin C for breakfast, vitamin C, no, C for breakfast, D for lunch, and E for dinner. Hallelujah. God never meant that we would kill ourselves just trying to make a living. Is it not interesting that you would have to kill yourself in the process of making a living? You're trying to create living, and the process of creating living is by dying. So he says, while some have coveted after those riches, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You will not pierce yourself through with any sorrows in the name of Jesus. But the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, the blessing that comes from God, it maketh rich. Hallelujah. Amen. God can bless you with riches. Amen. And his riches do not pierce you with sorrows. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? His riches do not pierce you with sorrows. We need the blessing of God to be rich. We need the blessing of God to prosper. Riches are just one of the things that come with being blessed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God wants you to do well. God wants you to flourish. God wants you to prosper. And he has shown us in his word. And that is the reason why when you're reading the Bible and you see anything that seems to lead to an outcome called blessing, is something you must be interested in.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. It says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Pour you out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So you see, in the Bible days, people really believed in blessing. And because they understood that it is really the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. Blessing of the Lord is what makes people do well. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Let me give you two quick examples of people who God blessed and look at the effect and then we close. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to continue next week.
Wow.
Now, the first person is Abraham. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, the book of Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Bible says the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will do what?
Bless
thee. I will do what? I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. Right? So verse 4, the Bible says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now go to chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter number 13. So the Bible says in verse 1, Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich. Can you see that? Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Hallelujah. Can you see the effect of the blessing?
Yeah.
The Bible says God came to him and said, go from this place and go to this place and I will bless you.
Yeah.
Then when he obeys and he goes, look at it. It says, in verse 12, it says, Abraham left and Lot went with him. Can you see that? Verse 4 of chapter 12. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Then the next thing we see is chapter 13, where now the Bible says, Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Hallelujah. Some people don't understand why anyone who serves God must be rich. But you find in the Bible that all the people who walked closely with God, especially the ones God gave instructions to, who obeyed, ended up being rich. Do you understand? You see people having visions and dreams and God speaking to them, and they are the same people that are associated with riches. Hallelujah. So you can see that God blessed Abraham, and one of the effects of the blessing on Abraham is that Abraham was rich. And not only Abraham, when you read on, it says, and verse 5, it says, and Lot also, can you see? Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And verse 6 says, they were so rich that the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Remember how he said, I'll bless you and there will not be room in your life. There will not be room to receive it. I see that being your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You must believe that life takes a blessing. You need to be blessed in life. Amen. And only God can bless you. And as God blesses people, one of the natural products of his blessing is that you also become rich. God will bless you. Amen. Expect to be rich. I said, expect to have the ability to meet every need in your life. Expect it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the other person, I told you I was going to give two examples. Number two is Job. Job chapter 1. Now, in Job chapter 1, we read about a man that was walking with God again. Job chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Means Job didn't like bad things and bad people, you know. And he said, there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. Wow. 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men. You know, he says he was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to their number, the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And it says, thus did Job continually. Do you understand? Now it says, Job had a lot. He was rich. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. I mean, if you own 3,000 camels, you see, if you own 3,000 camels, you must be a rich person. What do you think? Yeah. Probably had camel dealerships. A chain of camel dealerships. Amen. Now, if you met Job, you wouldn't know what was behind his wealth. And that's what people do when you can't explain somebody's wealth. People tend to come up with all sorts of ideas. He's stealing money. He's conning the people. He's taking money from people. It's people's money. He's printing money, you know. And all kinds of stories that people make up. And if you met Job, you wouldn't know what the source of wealth is. When you keep reading this chapter, we meet Satan himself. And it is Satan who explains to us how Job became rich. So in verse 6, the Bible says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came among them. Can you see that? Now, if Satan knows how to go to church, you must at least do better than that. What do you think? He says, it was a day when the sons of God came to present. There is a day when the sons of God present themselves before the Lord. You know, and Satan woke up. He probably even set an alarm. You get it? Because he had to be there. He didn't want to miss the service. So he got up and he said, this is, what day is it today? Oh, it's the day when the sons of God present themselves. Then he says, I got to go to church. Yeah. So he put on his red suit. And he had these red shoes to match. And he brought them out, got some neutral polish, and he polished them, you know. Then the shoes were shining, and he brought it up to his face to see if he could see himself in the shoes. Then he realized he was missing his horns. He had left them at the hairdresser last time he was at the barber. So he got ready and dressed up, and the Bible says he presented himself also among the sons of God. Right? And so when he got, the Bible says, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Listen, if God will speak to Satan in church, then you better know that God will speak to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Expect God to speak to you every time you present yourself among his children. Expect a word that is for you. A word, custom-made message that is for you. Amen. Believe that God will speak to you every time you present yourself before his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. So God spoke to him and said, you know, he said, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. You know, the Bible says he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you see him in the east, in San Bernardino. Next thing you know, he's in Santa Clarita. You know, then from there he swings down to Sacramento, and then he goes from Sacramento and swings down to Long Beach. You see, Maureen thought Satan didn't know where Long Beach is. But he will not find you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? In other words, do you think Job is serving you for nothing? Even Satan knows that when people serve God, it comes with something. Are you understanding it? Satan said to God, Job is not serving you for nothing. Then he said, look at the things you have done for him. Number one, he said, you have blessed the work of his hands. And what is the effect? His substance is increased in the land. So it is Satan who reveals to us the supernatural power behind those 7,000 camels. It is Satan who shows us how Job came by those 3,000 camels. 7,000 sheep. Because he said, God has blessed the work of his hands. God has blessed the work of his hands. God has blessed the work of his hands. See, the work of your hands minus God's blessing equals sorrow, piercings, anger, resentment. Even when you're going to work, you're angry. Yeah. You're already in a bad mood before they even tell you what you're doing for the day. Yeah. The work of your hands without God. See, what it means is that the work of your hands are not enough. Or the work of your hands is not enough. Do you understand? That the fact that you have a job doesn't mean you're going to be rich. Most people don't become rich from a job. Do you understand? Most people don't become rich from a job, from working so hard 9 to 5, 10 to 6, 11 to 7,
7 to
3, 12 to 8, 7 to 3. What other schedules? 4 to 12. Huh? 12 to what? To 8. 12 to 8. What else? 10 to 3. 6 to 6. What? What is that? 9 to 5.
Wow.
I mean, you combine the numbers anyhow you want them. 1 to 10, 2 to 7, any combination of numbers. You find somebody who has lived a long time and he will tell you he has worked quite a few numbers.
Wow. Changing the numbers.
He'll name the year and tell you which numbers go with that year. You get it? That in the year 2000 and 2010, it was 6 to 6. I did that till 2013 and I changed that to 9 to 5. Then 2014,
3 to 12.
And the numbers just keep rolling around. So Job also was working. He was also working. Don't misunderstand my message. I'm not saying that God is going to bless you so you don't need to work. Do you understand? But I'm just saying that the work of your hands is not enough to make you rich. I don't even need to say it. You know it already. Everyone who has a job knows it already. You know you don't have to argue with me that the work of your hands is not enough to make you rich. So for Job, the Bible says, in addition to that, no, this is Satan's testimony. It was testimony time, you know, and Satan's, can I give a testimony? You know? Yeah. Can I share something, please, Lord? And the Lord says, well, since you're here, you might as well speak. Then he said, my testimony is about Job. He said, since this guy started serving you, you know, he said, you have blessed the work of his hands. And the effect is that his substance has greatly increased. Hallelujah. When the blessing of God comes upon the work of your hands, that's when the work of your hands starts to yield substance that increases. Increased substance is what we call wealth. When your substance increases, that's when you're starting to be rich. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is the reason why we need the blessing. And if Satan knows it, you better know it too. Hallelujah. Don't be skeptical about God's blessings and how they come and what the source is. He said, look at it. He says, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. That is Job. Job said that you touch the things he has, which means unless God allows you to have the things you have, you will not even have them. Hallelujah. That is why we need his blessing.
Amen.
Amen. That is why we need his blessing. That is why when he says, bring all the tithe or anything that God asks you to do for a blessing, you better do it. You better do what God asks you to do. Anything God asks you to do for a blessing, do it, because you need the blessing, because the work of your hands is not enough. Your education is not enough. You will soon find out you are not sufficiently educated. You will find out, no. You, yeah. You'll find out, no, the education. Sometimes when you get very educated and you still can't make ends meet and you look at some people who don't seem to have as much education and they seem to be rolling in some money, then you start to curse all your professors. Remember every test you ever took. You know, you curse all of them and you start to hate the school and you see, you start to preach an anti-school message. You discourage people from going to school. Someone says, I'm going to do my homework. You say, home what? You say, go get a job. It's because you're frustrated. But that's because you never understood that it was not meant to make you rich by itself. The work of your hands are not enough. You need the work of your hands plus God's blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah. You should never forget Satan's testimony. You should never forget testimony time in heaven. And when Satan testified that God had blessed the work of Job's hands. And because of that, his substance is increased. Whatever he had was just multiplying. Was just multiplying. And it's because his blessing had come upon him. Hallelujah. May God's blessing come upon you. I said, may God's blessing come upon the work of your hands. I don't know what the work of your hands are. Do you see? I don't know what your hands are doing now. But whatever your hands have found to do, may God's blessing come upon it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And one of the ways to attract God's blessing is the tithe from the work of your hands.
Right.
To bring the tithe to the Lord and say, Lord, this is yours. And he has promised. He said, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing upon the work of your hands. Upon you. I'll pour out a blessing upon you. And when God's blessing falls upon even what is not enough. Let me close by telling you the story of how Jesus had 5,000 people to feed. And only 5 loaves of bread. Do you understand? And yet God's blessing upon what is not enough ends up resulting in having more than enough. Amen. No, if you're going to go to church, you better believe in supernatural things. If you're going to pray, you better believe in supernatural things. If you believe in God, then you better believe in supernatural things. Amen?
Amen?
God is able to bless you and to make a big difference in your life. And I see him doing that for you.
Amen.
Through the blessing of the tithe. Hallelujah. So when people do not tithe, they don't have this blessing. That is why they can become poor. You see, that's why they can become poor. Because they have only the work of their hands. And the day their hands can't work, you're finished. How many know the hands don't feel like working all the time? Yeah. Sometimes the hands are healthy, but the feet that must carry the hands to do what they can do, they won't go. Or even the hands stop working. Yeah. Or the mind that tells the hands what to do is not working.
It's not thinking properly.
You need God's blessing.
Yeah.
Tell somebody over dependence on the work of your hands leads to poverty. Tell that person one more thing. Just tell them, expect God's blessings on the work of your hands. Say, activate God's blessing on the work of your hands by paying your tithe. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. We'll continue next week. I'm going to give you 6 reasons why non-tithing Christians can become poor. I'm giving you 2 of them. Hallelujah. I'm explaining how the process of poverty, how people can become poor. Because God wants to take you out of poverty.
Amen.
God wants to bless you. When he blesses you, one of the effects will be that you will have the ability to meet every need in every area of your life. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and let's pray. Just bow your heads with me and pray. Talk to God about what you have heard and just say, Lord, I realize I can't make it by myself. I realize my skills are not enough. My education is not enough. My experience is not enough. Even a combination of all three will still not be enough. I need everything I can do plus your blessing. Plus your blessing. I need everything I can do plus your blessing, Lord. So today, I want to join the tithers. I want to join people who give a tithe of everything that you bless them. I want you to count me among those people, because from today, I'm going to make that change in my life in the name of Jesus. From today, I'm making that change. I'm taking that step to make a change, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your blessing. Pray that God will help you to be faithful in tithing, that you will be faithful in tithing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, while every eye is closed, we want to bring the service to a close, but not before I give you an opportunity. If you are here today, you know in your heart that you are not saved. You know in your heart that if you were to die today, you don't know if you go to heaven or not. You are not washed by the blood of Jesus. You are still living in sin. You're still living your own life. You're still living and pleasing yourself and doing what seems right to you. But today, God is reaching out to you. And Jesus is saying, I care about you. I died for you so that you can have life, so you can come to me, so you can come near me. God wants to bring you close to himself today. And I want to give you that opportunity. So if you want to give your life to Jesus today, I want you to raise up your right hand while every eye is closed. Just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. You want to come to Jesus today. You want to come to Jesus. You want to give your life to Jesus today. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus today? Just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Jesus. Anybody wants to give your life to Jesus today? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing. I want everybody to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. I confess with my mouth God raised you from the dead. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me and make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Tell somebody you better believe the devil's testimony. Hallelujah. Right. Now, we want to receive our communion. Yes. Amen. Just bring it round.
Take it. This is my body, which was broken for you. And drink. This is my blood, which was poured out for you. blessing that we bless. It's the communion of the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal that came down from heaven.
Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That means if you eat his flesh, if you drink his blood, life comes to you. Hallelujah. Today, receive life. Receive life for anything in you that is tending towards death in the name of Jesus. Receive an extension of your life. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the bread and we thank you for the wine. We thank you for your life, your body that was broken for us. The Bible says, by your stripes we are healed. By your stripes, every sickness in our lives is addressed in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, every demonic activity in our life is broken in the name of Jesus. We curse every hand of the devil in any part of our lives in the name of Jesus. By the body and by the blood in Jesus' name. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat. Take the wine and say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Lift up your hand, everybody, and receive a blessing. Father, thank you for the blessing that comes from the cup of blessing. Thank you for the blessing that is upon every curse. The blessing that neutralizes the work of the devil in our lives. May you release that blessing upon your people right now. The blessing that neutralizes curses. That neutralizes frustrations. That neutralizes things that set us back, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We declare ourselves free of frustrations and curses that we have inherited, situations we did not even bring upon ourselves, but which still beset our lives and which still affect us, oh God. We set ourselves free by the tokens of the blood in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated.